This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on reduction in retail inflation. The participants are Shubhamoy Bhattacharjee, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor.
So in today's program, we will discuss about the September figures for inflation, which is at a low of 5.02%, and how industrial output for August has jumped to 10.3%. We'll try and understand what are the reasons behind both the metrics that have been published now. Shubhamoy, for the benefit of our listeners, how is it that inflation is at 5.02% for the month of September? What has given rise to it? And at the same time, we also have the industrial output at 10.3% for the month of August. Would you correlate both these metrics?
Yeah, Arjun, let's first look at the inflation figures. Inflation, as you know, is a question of rising prices. So when we say 5.2, that means the inflation rate or the rate of growth of prices is rising at the rate of 5% and above in the latest reported figure, as reported by the National Statistical Office. Now, that means that prices are rising. But what it also means, more significantly, is that the price rise, which had accelerated in the earlier month in June and July, has begun to come down. That is a very significant figure, and that is what makes people, policymakers, and everybody comfortable. It means that even though prices are rising, the rate of growth of price is going to be far less than what it was so far. So this is something that makes us comfortable. And that is also significant if you look at the numbers. The number for the previous month was 6.78, if I'm not mistaken. Now that figure has come down to less to 5% and just above 5%, meaning a decline of something like 1.2%. 1.2% from that figure. I mean, in terms of change, it's quite substantial. It's about 30% drop. So that's a 30% drop that has happened, and that is the significant feature of the current price phenomena, which has made the RBI feel pleased. The central government obviously will also be pleased. And for the individuals, obviously, that is a reason to be comfortable.
It's always interesting to read both the metrics together, but for the sake of our listeners and you, we would discuss about inflation right now. CPI at 5.02% for the month of September. And the news is that is because of the lowering prices of vegetables. How has the government managed to ensure that the prices of vegetables in the food and beverage part of the computation is low? If we compare it to the consumer food price index, the inflation rate is at 6.56% for the month of September, as against 9.94% in August. So how have we managed to bring down food inflation if you compare it month to month?
That's right. And one of the major things that we should understand in this respect is the role of the Reserve Bank of India. The Reserve Bank of India doesn't have much of a role in the prices of vegetables and cereals. But the reason I bring up RBI is for a particular reason. What's the reason? Reserve Bank has been tasked under the MPC Act to ensure that inflation stays close to 4%. Not only that, RBI also has a responsibility to ensure that which direction, the trajectory of inflation is, should be made clear and should be made explicit to the public. Why is this important? Because it allows public to plan their finances. Inflation going up or inflation coming down, both can lead to disturbances in family budget. And it does. What RBI has done is that over the last few years, and that's a very significant achievement of RBI, it has been able to map very clearly and very closely which way inflation would move, and not only that, also the targets at which inflation will be coming. That's a very, very major achievement, and I think that is for that RBI should be commended. Now, coming to the role of, as what you asked about, what led reduction in the rate of price rise of vegetables and cereals, well, one of the things that's happened is that there has obviously been adroit management of the supply. Tomatoes, for instance, when prices went up in between, and the government immediately moved in to reduce the prices of tomato by ensuring that it was released in large areas so that the price was tamped down. Similarly, the other items like onions or potatoes, the government tries a similar sort of a phenomenon. Some of that, also the fact that India is a very large producer of these products, also ensures that the seasonal fluctuations get evened out very smoothly, so that if one season the product isn't particularly good, by the next season, which comes very rapidly, the production cycle picks up, and that leads to evening out of the prices. Obviously, it helps if people do not store, that is, wholesalers and others do not store it for aggravated period, and that is what it has shown, and which is why you found a very impressive, as I said, it's almost close to 25-30% rate of drop in vegetable prices. That has happened because of the supply management by the government. And that has been the principal reason why the inflation has tamped down.
So if you look at the supply issues here, how that's been resolved, vegetable inflation is now 3.39% in September from 26.14% in August. And along with vegetable prices coming down substantially, we also have cereals, which have now eased to almost 11% from 12% in August. If you look at milk and products, that's at 6.89%. Spices at 23%, 5% for prepared meals, and 14.04% for oils and fats. So these are the parts of the food inflation basket which is not really looked into, but it's a substantial drop. If you look at even the supply chain that they have looked into, the government has taken mitigating the measures for. Are you telling me that it's because of seasonality, or is it also in terms of a price control, not allowing predatory pricing in the supply chain?
Yeah, Julian, in fact, that's what we discussed. We discussed that essentially two things happened. That first of all, the government moved in to ensure that the production that was available also moved across the states in a much more distributed way. So the government did play a significant role in terms of ensuring that the prices didn't go out of proportion. And that definitely helped, because as we found that instead of the shortage persisting, in fact, if the controls had been of a wrong sort, then the shortage would not have gone away. The shortage would have just simply eased up, and then again would have flared up again, and the inflation would have stayed high. But in this case, what has happened is that the shortages have not shut up. So that does show a right price control, as we discussed. And also the fact that India should lay claim to the fact that it has hugely expanded the production of horticultural crops. And by horticulture crops, I mean these crops, the vegetables and others. The prices have come down. Along with that, you would also notice that the government has put in export restrictions on their wheat and our rice, and that has also helped in ensuring more supply of these products in the domestic market. So there's a various set of factors, and as I said, all of these are necessary to be taken by government rather than by the Reserve Bank. And the Reserve Bank can only indicate, but it has been indicating very, very, very correctly, sharply, as to where are the weak points that is coming up, and has alerted the government, which is its primary responsibility.
So export controls have also led to ensuring that supplies are not affected while prices are relatively low as well. What about the LPG price cut? How important is that when it comes to computing the food price index?
Today we have almost 9.5, in fact more than 9.5 crore supplies of these LPG across the country. And that's a huge number, because if you multiply that by the average for family size of 4.5, that means about 40.5 crore people. So that's tremendous impact, that what is the, that how the price of LPG pans out. As you know, LPG is something that we don't produce, and we almost import almost entire amount of it from abroad, and most of it comes from Saudi Arabia. So LPG prices, even though internationally prices have not exactly softened, but keeping it under control does that the government, the oil companies are sharing the larger part of the burden and helping to keep the prices steady.
So it's also correlated to fuel and light when you look at food inflation, but fuel and light is relatively low. How concerned are you with international market forces for oil price rises?
They would, but the interesting thing is that over the past almost 3 years, the price of petrol, diesel at the retail level has been kept steady. When I say the government, I mean the central government hasn't let it fluctuate much. In tandem, the state governments have also been fairly conservative most of the time in changing prices. The government has lost out in terms of rising prices. The government has made up for in terms of volumes. The volume of consumption hasn't gone down, and that has actually helped the government recover some amount of the loss that it has made in terms of the subsidy. So that is an interesting mixture, and that's an interesting challenge, and that is something that will be called into play more and more as the conflict in West Asia plays out and impacts the global supply lines, chains of commodities, and so on and so forth. We'll have to see, and these could be difficult going ahead, and we'll take a call as and when it comes.
Shubhamoy, the RBI has mentioned about the sub 6% inflation target in order to bring down interest rates, repo rate, the rate at which commercial banks borrow from the central bank. How do you see these figures encouraging a rate cut, or do you see the RBI playing cautious at this stage because there could be inflationary pressures again, even though they've been mitigated now at 5.02% for the month of September?
Rightly pointed out, the rate of price rise has come down, but RBI's target rate, as the governor, Mr. Shaktikant Das, has often said, is not around 4%, but 4%. They want to ensure the inflation steadies at 4. And as I said, RBI has acquired a very good reputation of being able to push the overall price regime to a disciplined position. That sort of a price regime also helps a lot because India is trying to attract a large amount of capital into the economy. When you're trying to do that, you don't want inflation to be running all over the place. So RBI is very clear that it wants a 4% rate. If it wants a 4% rate, then what does it mean? It means very simple, that instead of too much of money chasing too few goods, the supply of money should be less, so that people don't have their excess money to be able to buy goods more than is being produced. Now, that's the basis of inflation, why inflation typically happens when more money is there. So what RBI has to do, therefore, is to ensure that there isn't more money in the market. And if it has to do that, then RBI has to cut rate, keep the rates high, and so that the cost of borrowing money for the people is kept high so that they don't want to play the game of trying to see how far in prices that they can bring. Now, given the circumstances, it becomes very difficult for RBI to cut rates at this juncture. And I'm not alone in surmising that RBI will be very cautious in ensuring that it moves to the 4% rate. And to do that 4% rate, it will not be cutting rates at this point at all. Its hawkish stance will continue.
Shubhamoy, when we started the program, we spoke about two metrics. One was inflation CPI for September, 5.02%, and the other was the IIP figures. And third, which is in between, is a core inflation, which is, again, under 5%. How would you relate core inflation and the IIP, the factory output, right now at 10.3% for the month of August in the context of development, and also ensuring that supply side inflation is not affecting business as well?
As you can see, and in fact, you did point out, the rate of growth of industries, the factory production, which has gone into double digits, and this was somewhat predicted by the S&P index numbers that came out shortly before. It does show two things. One, that industry is moving ahead and producing, but it also shows something more, that essentially this is a reflection of what has started happening since last year. What has happened is that since last year, the banks have started giving out more credit. That data is available. That data shows that correspondingly bank credit to industry has started going up very admirably. Now, when that happens, where's that money going? And obviously, when the bank lending for industries to expand production or to set up new facilities, and it has had a lead time of more than a year or so, that impact is now showing in terms of the rising production and expanded capacity coming into play. And why did industry do that at the time? Because it was sort of building up for the expected surge in demand for their goods. And those numbers are now showing up in the index of industrial production, where you see manufacturing, which had been very anemic for a long time, has started to pick up. So manufacturing activity in all places is picked up. Another indicator of that is electricity. Electricity has gone up even higher, something like 12%. What does it show? Because electricity is something which typically is essential for any production activity. And remember, this electricity rise is not a summer month rise. It's a post-rainy season rise. So even in this period, if electricity product consumption is rising, that means it is the industrial sector which is actually raising its consumption of electricity. And that sort of consumption rise augurs very good for the economy, which means that the production pace, which has picked up, is going to keep up pace for some time because the numbers for earlier months have already been counted. It is now the next month's production which the electricity generation is now financing. So together, two numbers make it very significant in terms of seeing where the prices are going, where the industrial activity is going, and that's good because you have stable inflation, you have a rising industry. That's a very good combination for an economy to be in at any particular point. You also mentioned that's why the core inflation hasn't risen, and that's exactly why, because production hasn't shortened. The production isn't expanding, which is why industries are not particularly, which is not rising up to capture the prices. It is the production which is rising and which is therefore ensuring that the volume, that the price rise in core sector isn't particularly high.
So just to put it in context, Shubhamoy, factory output has gone up because of 9.3% increase in manufacturing, which is about 78% of weightage on the IIP, the Index of Industrial Production. And manufacturing output has grown by 5% in July and had only contracted by 0.5% in August 2022 in absolute terms. So it has improved to 143.5 in August from 141.8 in July and 131.3 in the year ago period. That is just to put it in context what you had earlier stated to the question I put to you. Thank you so much, Shubhamoy.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on reduction in retail inflation. The participants were Shubhamoy Bhattacharjee, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on EIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official.